fight.
Ars is Superior is proudly hosted by Red Nation Online. We can be found on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and everywhere else you find your favorite podcasts.
Welcome to episode 44 of Ours is the Fury with the usual crew. Hi, Tim.
Hey.
Hi, Ryan.
Hello.
And it's John. So before we get into the last game where we played against Minnesota United away, I'd like to ask Ryan a few questions because he had the pleasure to go to Toronto to watch the Canadian national team in their third group match of the Gold Cup take on Costa Rica. Unfortunately, it ended up being 0-0. How was your experience there?
It was wet.
Yeah, on TV it looked very rainy.
No, it was good. It was a good game. Always large Voyager crowds in Toronto. Mm-hmm. And so it was a pretty good experience. There's a couple things that happened in the game. We weren't sure what was going on. We'd have to text back to people watching on TV, why did he get that yellow card? Or was that really offside?
But yeah,
overall good experience. I thought they played really well, actually. A 0-0 result against Costa Rica is, I think, a pretty good result. But
yeah, it's just a shame that they weren't able to score. They really only needed that one goal.
It's a shame we didn't score against El Salvador. That's
yeah,
real shame.
Well, hopefully we get to see the national team in Ottawa one day if they want to play on artificial turf.
We're your town if you want artificial turf.
All right, so let's get right into the Minnesota United game. We drew 1-1, which is a great result for us to play on the road and to play one of the top teams of the NASL and come back home with the result. In terms of the lineup, the back four was the same as usual, with Trafford on the left, Falvey Alves as center backs, Ryan Richter on the right, and of course Pizer in goal. And then we had Ubi, Richie Ryan, and Mauro Eustaquio, sort of as a right midfielder. And this was because Julian de Guzman was, of course, away at the Gold Cup. And then we had Paulo Jr. on the left, and then Wiedemann on the right, and Heinemann starting as a striker. So it was a pretty good game. Lots of chances on both ends, eh?
Yeah, I thought for the whole game we were pretty much outplayed most of the game, but we did have a bunch of chances, and we were probably lucky to get scraped through that 1-1 draw.
Yeah, but even especially in the first half, there were quite a few chances for us. Like, I remember when Wiedemann crossed in the ball and Junior sort of headed it and just missed it, or I think it was saved. And then we got lucky with the offside goal that Minnesota scored.
No, that was offside.
I know it was offside, but, I was like, oh, no.
All those Minnesota fans need to stop their whining. they've never, had any kind of luck, ever.
Yeah. Like that last-minute winner seventh minute of extra time with Carlton.
Yeah. Minnesota.
And Pizer had another really strong game with lots of huge saves.
Which he'll need to do against Indy, but we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, and then Christian Ramirez, who had, 20 goals last year?
But he's missing his partner.
Yeah, no more Ibarra for Minnesota United. But he scored a beautiful goal. I think, was it Ali Hassan that passed it to him? I can't remember.
It was Calvano.
It's Al Hassan.
Okay, so everybody thinks it was someone else.
No, I just... the player's name, but yeah.
But it was a beautiful strike. Go watch the highlights if you want to see that.
I don't want to see it.
Yeah, I know.
I was kind of happy that the goal that kind of ended the clean sheet record was a nice goal instead of a really bad goal.
Yeah, so how many minutes was it in the end?
648.
648 minutes without a goal conceded. Well done, Ottawa Fury.
Yeah.
It's time to beat our own record.
This season. There's another nice chip from Vicentini that could have made it 2-0, but it was a little bit over the bar, luckily. Ubi was taken off with an injury in the 43rd minute.
Yeah, it's not... It's what was it, a hamstring or a...
Groin.
Groin, maybe. But got word from the club yesterday that it's day-to-day, so we probably won't see him this Sunday, but we will see him probably this week.
Yeah, and then Carl Haworth came on for him. And then I still haven't figured out how that affected the formation. Because with Wiedemann, Heinemann, Haworth, Paulo Jr. all on at the same time, I wasn't quite sure who was the player that went back into the defensive midfield. Do either one of you know how it actually...
I thought it was Haworth. It was kind of, he was playing a little more forward.
Yeah.
I guess because they were down in the goal at the time.
But who was playing back is what I'm wondering.
Or who's going to play back when we have like...
Must have been Paulo Jr. Like, it wasn't visible to my eye, but it must have been Paulo Jr. Please correct us if you hear this.
Yeah, because we're going to have, like, how many forwards? 5 or 6 forwards here soon?
Yeah, yeah, we'll get to that later.
So Ford's the new right back.
Yeah.
Which was the new keeper.
Which was the keeper from the year before, yeah.
Yeah, Minnesota had another huge chance. I think it was Ibsen that... almost scored after an Ali Hassan pass. And then was the scene of the game, the controversial penalty for some Minnesota fans. Basically what happened was the Minnesota player, what was the name of the player?
Was it Ramirez?
No, I don't think it was Ramirez, was it? I can't remember who it was, but basically Oliver went for a header a couple yards away from the goal, and then the Minnesota United player just struck Oliver in the face, and he broke his nose and didn't look very good after. So it was dangerous play plus a foul, so definitely a penalty. Now, if the Minnesota player had not made contact with Oliver, then I would say it would be an indirect free kick, and because it was in the 5-yard box, they would have placed the ball at the 5-yard box, and then, you know, someone else has to touch it first before you can kick it. But because he made contact, it's for sure a foul. So, and that's why it has to be a penalty. I think you guys see it the same way, or?
Oh yeah, absolutely. He's probably lucky not to get a yellow or even a red card at that point, depending on how the referee saw.
Yeah,
how the foul would have affected the goal chance.
You'd think it warrants a yellow because he completely doesn't care about the health of the player, right? He just swings it way over the shoulder height.
But, yeah, the referee was a little inconsistent, to say the least. He seemed a little intimidated out there. He seemed a little not to know what was going on. I think he was kind of being intimidated by the players. And
yeah,
he made some weird decisions.
Yeah, refereeing in the NASL has never been consistent or fair.
Well, it's been consistently bad.
Well, yeah. To be fair, it's been consistently bad. But yeah, can't complain too much about that. We're used to it.
No. And then we should mention Tommy Heinemann's cool finish into the right corner, sending the keeper the other way. I was a little worried when Tommy Heinemann stepped up because he's missed a penalty for us before, but he did really well.
Yeah, it's good. He converted the penalty. How many goals is that on the season?
That's 3, so he has 12 to go.
Okay. John's keeping track, holding players account to their predictions of their own goal-scoring abilities.
Yeah, and he made NASL Team of the Week, which is great.
Who chooses the Team of the Week? Does anybody know?
Psycho, the best watch. I don't know.
I know we've said this on the podcast before, but like Team of the Weeks are basically made up of guys who score and defenders and keepers who keep
clean sheets,
and that's
it's never like the actual play of the player. Otherwise, Alves would be on the Team of the Week every week. And
And then the Fury basically just held on. We got a little bit lucky that we didn't lose the game because the Minnesota United created some good chances. Like, I remember Ramirez hitting a shot from distance that got deflected and hit the side netting, and then Pies just sort of held on to the victory in the 96th minute. Why are we even still playing in the 96th minute?
Because
when
we play Minnesota, we play 96 minutes. We learned that last year.
But, yeah, he saved the header that was really close to goal and managed to hold the ball in his hands, and that was pretty much the end of the game. Is there anything else that's noteworthy that we should mention about the game?
It's our 7th consecutive game picking up points. Mm-hmm. Like undefeated, 7 games.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's something I'd like to see out there more and in the papers more and stuff. Was talking about, yeah, sure, we haven't let in a goal for 648 minutes, but we haven't been defeated in 7 matches either. So.
Oh, we may mention that Davies got subbed on. Yeah. So he's sort of back.
He's back.
He was back the week before too, I think, but he's getting more minutes now.
Yeah, so and it's good to see the. A lot of people worried about our midfield, and I think we don't think of Davies enough, and it doesn't his name doesn't pop up in conversations enough because he's been injured for since the start of the season. But it's good to see him back, and I think he'll play a major part in the team.
Speaking of young Canadian promising talents, how did the academy teams do this week, Tim?
They lost 1-0 to Lakeshore in the second leg of their Quebec Cup series.
This is the senior academy team, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they were down, I think, what was it, 3-1 on aggregate was the final, and
Not a big surprise.
Young team against, but a couple names that kept popping up again, Schroeder and I can't say Mohammed's last name right.
Dagnogo.
And those names just keep popping up, even in the French press that cover the games. Those guys are standout, and I wouldn't be surprised to see them in the first team in the next couple of years for sure. And their next game is against FC Gatineau. Yeah,
in Algonquin.
Yeah.
Saturday, 3 p.m. It's free. It's awesome. You've got to come check it out if you have time.
Yeah. And it's the last home game for a while. The next one, I think, is on August 22nd.
That's right, John. It is August 22nd. So, but if you haven't seen the Academy game team, there's going to be a whole month and 4 days before the next game. So come out July 18th, Saturday, July 18th.
Yeah, Tyler Gowdy, who I thought played really well in that game against Montreal a few weeks ago.
He's the goalkeeper, right?
Yeah. He was actually training with the first team for a while last week, so it's good to see.
Interesting. So maybe another player might see in the first team next year or so.
All right. On that note, let's take a break, and then we'll bring you some other Ottawa Fury news and the listener questions. You can find us on Twitter at OITFury or on Facebook. Just search for Ours is the Fury. And we have an email, OursIsTheFuryPodcast@gmail.com. It's fine. Welcome back, guys. So let's talk some Ottawa Fury news. This week we had German-Turkish striker Uğur Albayrak.
I was going to ask you how to say that.
Yeah, well, it's not a German name. It's a Turkish name. And he's been practicing with the Fury at the moment. He hasn't played at a very high level of football. He is 27 years old. And I looked over his performance data, and he did really well in Germany's fifth division. So he scored 25 goals and 30 in that. And then he did a little bit worse in the fourth division, where he scored 13 and 31.
So where does the NASL fit in the German football pyramid?
That's very tough to say. I would say the worst third league
teams
are NASL level ish.
Interesting.
But you'd have to see them match up against each other. I could be completely wrong. And then in another third division spell. Oh, actually, I mean fourth division spell. He scored 17 and 60. So those are pretty good rates. But when he goes higher, so he played in the third division once. He scored 3 in 38 games. And then in the second Bundesliga, he only had 3 short stints, but he didn't score any goals. So he's no superstar. But he can score goals.
So he's just training with the team right now. He hasn't been properly signed yet.
Yeah, but Chris Hoffley was saying that he's expected to sign.
Yeah, and so yeah. We'll see. There's a room.
So I guess he had injury problems. Like he had a foot injury for the last part of last season.
Yeah, he had a metatarsal fracture. Mm-hmm. And this would mean that we would have to drop an international. And in this case, it's clear who it would be. It would be Nicky Patterson, who's out with the ACL injury. He might remain with the club, but they would just remove him from the roster.
Yeah, I think there's room in the NASL for inactive roster, so he could still stay with the team, just he couldn't play.
Yeah, it would be kind of stupid not to add an international now that spot's freed up. Like, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah, you got to use those 7 spots. Otherwise, you're pretty much at a disadvantage in this league.
But I think if you're bringing in a guy an international and a striker now with all the strikers we do have, that he's got to be like the top guy. And if he's, there's kind of a question, if he's not, then maybe it's not the right move.
Yeah, it's confusing because we just signed that Egyptian-American guy whose name escapes me. What's the striker's name? That we
Ali
just...
Hassan.
Ali Hassan, yeah. Who I confused with Al Hassan, who plays for Minnesota United in the first half. Yeah, I want to see him play first before we sign another one. But then again, Dos Santos seems to know what he's doing. We were also really weirded out when we signed four goalkeepers, and now, you know, we all love Pizer.
Yeah, I remember last year the question marks when Pizer was signed, and like, and none of those people are questioning that signing now. So.
No.
Yep. In other news, Oliver should be fit to play next game, probably with a mask if he does play, to protect his face and nose.
Is his nose broken?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But apparently he was in pretty positive spirits, which is quite remarkable considering how much bad luck he's had in the last two seasons.
That's just the worst luck, especially in the face and neck area.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's had his nose broken, his teeth knocked out.
And he was strangled on an airplane.
Plus all the other injuries, like he had a weird injury this year.
Plus football-related injuries. Wow. Yeah, so that's big news. What else is happening?
That's pretty much it from the Fury perspective, so we should jump right into the listener question. Let's start with the one that we asked this week, and that was, how does the success or failure of the Ottawa Red Blacks affect the Ottawa Fury FC?
Yeah, I'll read some of these. So Drew in Ottawa says, minimal from a fan-generating perspective. Significant in the terms of business model, sustainability, and through OSEG, piggybacking. So the idea here is people from outside of Ottawa don't know is Red Blacks is owned by OSEG, which also owns the Fury. And Andrews is saying what a lot of people believe here is the more money that they make with the Red Blacks, the better it is for the Fury.
Yeah, and that makes total sense. And we should also mention that OSEG owns a third sports team, and that's the hockey team. What are they called?
The Ottawa 67s.
Yeah.
How long have you lived in Ottawa?
Well, it's hockey, you know. I sort of blend it out.
Okay.
Yeah, and then the next response is from Josh and Kick Puncher, who is, oh my gosh, it's Josh on Twitter, which is a great handle. And he says, Red Black success on the field equals more people through the gates and greater exposure for the Fury until OFFC is self-sustaining, which it may or may not be close to, I don't know. Red Blacks will keep them afloat.
And Mark LaPointe at Kick 16 says, without the Red Blacks, there is no Fury. It's that simple. There is zero chance the Fury is making any money. Red Blacks are essential.
Yeah, it's true. Like, do you think we would have that brand new TD place without the football team?
Or without the real estate attached to it, too.
But what I'm wondering, guys, is if the Red Blacks don't do well from a sporting perspective, is that going to hurt the Fury in any way? Like, let's say their attendance stays high, but they don't do well. Does that have an effect?
See, what I'm thinking is if the Red Blacks do really well and get all the attention, I think that will hurt the Fury. And which is weird because they're owned by the same company and everything. But I think people will, like, be on that bandwagon. And the same thing with, like, the baseball team, which isn't doing well. And when there's that overlap of hockey playoffs, we saw it with the Senators this year. The Senators were playing, and like we had our smallest crowd in history, I think, was the night of a Senators playoff game. So, and the final one is from Facebook. Yes, you can find us on Facebook. It's Eric Raymond. It says, if the Red Blacks were to fail, there would be no Fury, plain and simple. Which I think you'd have to agree, right? Or someone else would have to buy the Fury. I don't think OSEG would run them. And the more they can get out of the Red Blacks games is a good thing for Fury because it adds and reminders for the Fury. So he's saying, like, OSEG could maybe advertise more to that Red Blacks fan base, like, in-game and, like, on the way out of the stadium and stuff like that to drive up numbers for the Fury.
So, yeah, so I don't really care about Canadian football, but I wish the Red Blacks well, and I hope that, you know, they continue to have success off and on the pitch.
Yeah, I'm not worried about the Red Blacks. I think they'll do just
fine. No, yeah, they're continuing to sell out. And
we're the new Rough Riders.
Yeah, I think if it comes a point where they stop selling out, I don't think there's any trouble of them leaving anytime soon. I think they're pretty stable.
Okay, so, and if you don't like our weekly question, you can always ask us a question, and if there's time, we'll address it. So this time, the podcast from Out West, from the Black Hole, asked us, what have been the keys to the Fury's unbelievable defensive run?
I would say one key that probably gets overlooked is the midfielders and the wingers, especially not turning over the ball as often as they did last year.
And coming back to defend too, like seeing Heinemann like all the way back defending, I think that's something you probably didn't see last year. The forwards coming back, and I think a strong midfield and for people that don't watch the games, like you're from somewhere where you can't see the games, it's Alves, Trafford, that back line is a machine, and Pies is just keeping them organized and.
Yeah, and it seems like they understand the system much more now, much better than last year. They hold the formation much better.
More height.
Yeah, and I think one of the big highlights of that defense just has got to be Alves. Like, he's just a monster back there. So all those factors contribute to the Fury having such a tight defense this year, and hopefully we'll see very few goals conceded going forward. So yeah, if you want to ask us a question, we have a new Twitter handle. We should mention that we're no longer at Ottawa Fury, just to distinguish ourselves a little bit from the main account.
So if you're a player from Estonia, you can't tweet us anymore asking for a roster spot.
Yeah, so what's our Twitter handle now, Tim?
It is OIT Fury.
Yep.
It just rolls off the tongue.
OIT Fury, that's the best that we could come up with. So tweet to that or Facebook us or send us an email, and we'll make sure to address that. So let's look at some other NASL news. Canadian Motsi Giorio is suing Minnesota United for breach of contract. So what happened here is the player was promised to be a first team player, and then the coaching staff basically told him, yeah, you got to play for the second team.
You don't play unless you cut that hair.
And the player was like, nope, it says in my contract right here that I'm a first team player. I'm not going to play for the second team or the reserve team. And now they have a labor dispute. So.
And now he plays for the Austin Aztecs.
Yeah. Well, you can think of whatever you want from this. You can spin it in various different ways. Like, I saw this thing on Reddit, like, Canadian player gets benched, sues team.
Oh, wow. Yeah, well, he always has a career playing guitar in Rush. So.
Yeah. I mean, it's a professional sport. If you can't cut it, you're not going to do it. I mean, the coach is playing. Coach needs to win to keep his job, essentially. And if you can't cut it, then you're not playing, regardless of what they told you before you signed the contract.
There's that, and also your reputation, you know? Like, don't you want to be picked up by another team? Like, it's... Mm-hmm. Even though he has a team currently, like, that doesn't, you know, go over too well. Minnesota United also has added a new player to their squad, Brazilian Iago Silva on loan.
Yeah, I read a little about him today, and they're really excited about him. They're saying, like, I think on Northern Pitch, I read it, they're expecting him to be, like, a replacement for Ibarra. And like, to get a lot of goals for them. So we'll see how that pans out.
Yeah, he's a young winger that used to play for Vasco da Gama in Brazil.
And the ongoing saga with the Cosmos. They're trying to build a stadium out just out past Queens on the East End. Just technically Long Island. And it's not getting done. And they're getting frustrated and they're starting to look at other sites. And they've invested a lot of money. And they were going to pay for the stadium by themselves. It was $400 million. Wow. And now they're just looking at other sites. So hopefully the Cosmos can get it done. Otherwise, you know, I don't know. how long they'll be sinking money into this team.
Well, if they ever do have a new stadium, the Fury play there, we'll make another road trip to New York. And then the biggest news of the NASL ever, Tim, this week.
Yeah, who we mentioned last week, Freddie Adu, is in the NASL.
Which team?
What? Tampa Bay Rowdies.
Yeah, so that got first a place, lot Tampa of Bay attention. Rowdies. Yeah, like, I mean, it was everywhere, like ESPN and the big sports sites that usually don't mention NASL much. Everyone wanted to know what's happening with Freddie Adu. He has like 500,000 followers or something on Twitter, which is ridiculous for a player of his level.
That's more than we have.
Yeah, yeah. That's not right.
It's crazy.
That's not right.
Yeah, so if you're planning a trip to Ottawa to see Freddie Adu, August 28th is when he'll be in town.
Yeah, that's, and it's always good to see Tampa. Tampa is it's actually a game I missed because I was out hanging out with John camping once. It was the only Fury game I missed, and it's all John's fault.
It was a very intimate affair.
Yeah. And but Tampa's always an exciting team to watch. They're first place right now. Do you think they'll take the Cosmos overall title? I know they got a game possible in hand, but...
Oh, we should mention that for the fall season, Edmonton is first and we're second.
Yeah, it's the Canadian takeover. Yeah, it's, well, what are we, two games in?
Yeah, but to answer your question, yeah, the Rowdies, they look pretty strong.
They look really strong. Yeah, and the big TV deal, right?
Yeah, we mentioned the TV deal last week already, I believe. But the highlight show aired for the first time on Tuesday, which I totally forgot about and I missed. But sadly, it's not to be found anywhere online. So
unless you're watching live.
Yeah,
you can watch it live.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's, you can stream it online if you watch it live. So if anyone captured this video, get in touch with us. what else? I just noticed we never really mentioned the attendance for the Minnesota game, which was really good.
It's over 9,000.
Yeah, it's like 9,030 people, so we should just say that.
And they brought in extra seats because they knew the Ottawa Fury were coming to town. Big draw everywhere they go.
Super Tommy Heinemann was
Super
there.
Tommy. Yeah, so Minnesota, though, they same thing. They keep adding to that stadium. And people are saying, oh, it's a waste of money. You're going to be leaving the place soon. And they're like, we don't know. Maybe not.
Yeah, they might not.
So
that would be funny.
Yeah.
All right, so let's take a look at the other NASL matches. So Atlanta Silverbacks took on Jacksonville Armada FC and won 1-0 in front of 4,717 fans. Goal was scored by Michael Reed.
Is that game in Atlanta or Jacksonville?
Yeah, that's a good crowd for Atlanta.
That's really good crowd for Atlanta, if that's Atlanta. Yeah, and Jacksonville not looking so hot.
Ooh, they're falling.
They're falling quick.
But I do remember seeing on Twitter, again, the referees. I know the president of Jacksonville was going after the referees pretty badly. I didn't watch the game, so I don't know what it was about, but the usual NASL referee.
Yeah, and a big game too was the Indy 11. They beat Carolina 2-1 at home, and they didn't sell out. They only had 9,600 fans instead of their usual 10,100.
What's wrong with you, Indy?
What's wrong, Indy? Just because you're getting better on the field, and now your fans don't want to show up. Indy's just been killing it. They got 20 shots on goal in this. Well, no, they got 20 shots and like 12 of them are on goal or something. But to beat Carolina 2-1, and Indy's just been killing it. We're going to talk more about like why they've been killing it, but yeah.
And probably the biggest shock of the week was San Antonio, who's been kind of poor this year, beat Tampa Bay Rowdies. First place Tampa Bay Rowdies, 3-0.
Yeah, man, San Antonio's been, they used to be like the model that everyone wanted to follow in the league, and this year it's just, so it's been not the best results for them.
Yeah, and both goals were scored by Omar Cummings, eh?
Yeah, I mean, how bad would they be without him? Leading scorer, their goal scorer of the NHL so far this year.
So last but not least, let's look at our Canadian brothers, FC Edmonton, who are down in Miami to battle the Fort Lauderdale Strikers. So they were playing in front of 3,816 fans, and they tied 1-1. With the Strikers keeper Josh Ford own-goaling it.
Hey, get goals however you can. Especially, they're missing Lance Lang, right?
Yeah, he's at the Gold Cup, that's right.
So, without him, maybe they don't have the scoring punch that, you know, maybe they're the FC Edmonton of last year. And do you guys kind of think he's carrying the team, kind of like a Giovinco of FC Edmonton?
Not to the same extent as Giovinco, but yeah, he's definitely their best player, and he's definitely carrying them.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see if he ever leaves Edmonton what their offense looks like. So,
for sure. So let's take a look at the table. No surprise that Jacksonville is last because they haven't gotten a single point yet. What is a surprise, though, is that Minnesota United is second to last with only 1 point and -2 goal difference. The Cosmos are ninth, but that's because they've only played one game.
Yeah, you know, go through the rest of the table quick. Fort Lauderdale 8th, Tampa 7th, San Antonio 6th. We're only two games in here, so Atlanta 5th, and the mighty Indy 11 4th. What's the top three looking like?
The top three is Carolina 3rd, and then Ottawa and Edmonton, top of the league.
Wow.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind if it looked like this at the end of the fall season.
Take a screenshot and enjoy it, because I don't think it will. But
no.
But yeah, but we are undefeated in 7, and if we stay hot, you know, who knows? We're definitely pushing for the top 4 spot easy. Like it's definitely a possibility.
So let's take another break, and then we'll give you a short preview of our game against Indy 11 at home.
You're listening to the Hours of the Fury podcast. Don't forget to rate us on iTunes.
All right, welcome to our final segment where we'll do a short preview of the Indy 11 game, which is our next game at home at TD Place, which kicks off the Fury Week, where we have 3 home games in a row. But for now, we'll just focus on the game against Indy.
One game at a time, John. One game at a time.
And what a big game it is.
I'm excited for this game. You know, like, you never really take Indy seriously. But if you look, since they've changed their coach, they've really turned it around.
Yeah, the new coach is called, his name is Tim Regan or something?
Yeah, he was the assistant coach before, right? And they promoted him up to the main coach. And since he's been on board, they've had 3 wins and 1 draw. So, perfect record coming into Ottawa.
The two hottest teams playing this week in Ottawa, Indy, like...
Yeah, hottest offensive.
If you would have told someone that last year, like, they would have looked at you funny.
Yeah, especially because Indy probably didn't have 3 wins and a draw in the entire season last year, both spring and fall.
Yeah, they've really gotten it together. And I'm really excited about this game. One thing is Dane Richards, who I used to watch play on the Red Bull, and he was pretty instrumental in setting up Henry quite a bit, and he got a lot of starts for the Red Bull. And I'm really surprised to see him in the NASL, but he's signed with the team. I expect to see him on Sunday. So with him and Smart on the flanks, that's kind of scary.
Yeah, especially because India scored a lot of goals lately, like 8 goals in the last 4 games. That's a lot.
Yeah. So, Tim, who should we? Who are you scared of? Or
he won't be starting, but Don Smart is always a player. He's a super sub. And I always mention him when he comes to town, but he just changes games with his pace at the end.
He kind of looks, yeah.
Probably a player that Ottawa doesn't really have.
It's a player Ottawa would love to have.
Yeah, we really don't have like that threat off the bench that we know can change games or something like that. And we always do well against Indy, though. This team is different, though. This Indy team is much better than any other Indy squad that we've played so far.
Yeah, and we're different too, even from the start of the year when we played Indy. So it's gonna be a super interesting matchup. What kind of formation the Indy usually play?
Like a 4-4-2.
Okay.
Kind of the wings up a little bit. They're usually Stoykov and Pineda running down the wings.
And they have a striker that scores a lot of goals. I can never say his name right.
Walski or
Walski Waszek.
Yeah.
Yeah, But Tim, you were saying before that he's out for this game?
No, I was mistaken.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry to bring it up. So more bad news is their big striker is in for this game, so.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a really good game, and I'm excited about it, but the way it is now, the Indies, that the fourth team, they're in the fourth spot, and we're, was it 2-3 points behind them? 2 points behind them now? So just a huge, huge game in terms of, you know, that playoff push. Like, this might be a game we look back on and say, this is why we made it to the playoffs, or this is why we didn't.
And we should also mention Eric Norales, who's the Honduran.
You don't have to.
Yeah, we. I mean, Canadians don't have the best track record against Hondurans, but he's one of those players that's consistently in the NASL Team of the Week, so he's got to be pretty good. I haven't seen much of him, but he's pretty much there every week.
Yeah, and he's on the Honduran national team too, right?
So. Yeah. How come he's not at the Gold Cup?
Yeah, well, I don't know. They got a lot younger guys with that can kick legs a lot harder than he can, maybe. But Honduras played terrible last night as a side. They lost to Haiti 1-0. I know we're not a Gold Cup podcast, but they're not the team that we saw before. So the game's when? 3 o'clock.
3 o'clock Sunday, come on out. You can get cheap tickets from either Stony Money Ride or Bytown Boys.
Yeah, $10 tickets. Three games this week. Do you think we'll manage the squad differently with such a hectic
schedule? We have to, especially playing on that hard turf. I can't see Sunday being the same starting 11 as Wednesday 3 days later, and then again, when is it?
Following Sunday after that.
I mean, they never take any game lightly, because any team can beat any other team in this league, but probably nice to have Atlanta come in that midweek game, that we can do some changes and still put out a team that can beat.
Yeah, I'm hoping we'll see Ali Hassan in one of those games at least. And in terms of...
you should mention that I'd love to see... I know that the Pizer just broke the clean sheet record, but at some point I'd love to see DeBellis play for the senior team.
Yeah. I don't think that's going to happen. In terms of housekeeping, we should be recording the podcast before that Wednesday game next week, I would hope. I'm away during Fury Week. I'm going to be in Nova Scotia.
That's John telling us when to record the podcast for all our listeners.
Yeah, all your music gigs are done, Ryan, so you, no more excuses.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and we should pose the question of the week already now. So this is next year's question of the week, so you can respond to us as soon as you hear about it. So we'd like to ask you this week, if you could add one player this summer, for which position would it be and why?
Could add one player, which position would it be and why?
And it doesn't have to be a starting player. It could be a depth player, but give a reason why you would add, let's say, a defender, a midfielder, or a forward.
Okay. Or even a keeper.
Oh, yeah, we need a keeper, but... yeah. Yeah, so do you want names, John, or do you just want a position?
I was just thinking position, but you can certainly add a name if you have someone in mind that's available and not too expensive and wants to live in Ottawa. So that narrows the list.
Nobody.
All right, I think that brings us to the end. Unless anyone else wants to add anything?
No, I'll be sleeping outside Lansdowne this week, so.
So yeah, with the Academy game, it's four games.
It's four games, yeah, and plus the Canada game there this week, so, yeah.
Which Canada game, like Pan Am?
The one last night, yeah.
Oh, right, yeah, that's true. Okay, so we can still be found on Twitter, but we changed our handle. We are now at... at O-I-T. Fury.
There you go, John.
OIT Fury on Twitter. And we are still on Facebook. Just search for RSS to Fury and it should come up. And we have an email address that you can contact us. It's RSS to Fury podcast@gmail.com. And don't forget to rate us on your favorite podcatcher. And also, if you're using a podcatcher that we're not currently on, let us know and we'll add it. All right, guys. Have a good Fury week.
Toodles.
Goodbye.
Time, each year you must
have a new Twitter handle. It's at O F T. No, O.
John. O I.
F Fury.
No.
O I X. No.
At ours is the Fury Pod.
Ours Fury Pod. At Fury Pod.
Is that available? Because that's a good one.
At hashtag Pod Fury.
You don't understand Twitter.
Fury Pod, that would have been a good one.